Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us, Bill?
Well, we have a sponsor this hour of Pape Machinery. Pape is our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer, and they are located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. They're right between Oasis and Pine Grove on Twin View Boulevard. Go up and see them if you're looking for a John Deere tractor, mower, whatever's green. They got it all in stock right now. It's going fast, though. The grass is growing, and it is getting busy up there. So if you're looking for a new mower, you better get them while they're there.
And don't dilly-dally.
No, don't dilly-dally, because they are flying out of there. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Give them a call. See what they have on hand. Get some pricing. Or you can catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da! So today is 16th of April, 2023. Just in case we replay this at another time, and the information seems to be out of sync with what's going on. But not typically. When we chat with Dr. Chen, I think the information stays current for a very long time. But we have not visited with him since October, last October of 2022. It's been far, far too long. So just in case you have never heard him before, I've listed all the shows on the website at wethepeopleradio.us. Sponsorship comes from companies, individuals, and all sorts of people. So if you'd like to go to the site, you can find out how you can either you can put advertising on our site. You could be a silent advertiser. You could be an individual supporter. Lots of choices. And at the very, very least, share the programs. I finally figured out how to get the stupid Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that buttons on there. That was kind of more of a challenge than I wanted. But it's on there now, and you can share the programs any way you like. Feel free to do that. They're not copyrighted. So Dr. Shizong Chen has been active in projects concerning China for over 30 years. He's founded, co-founded, or been spokesperson for a number of organizations concerning China and has spoken extensively on issues related to China. He began his activism in 1989 when he helped to organize supporting activities during the 1989 Beijing student movement. Outraged by the June 4th massacre, Dr. Chen founded the Tiananmen Square Foundation and has served on the board of the Press Freedom Guardian and was elected as the vice president of the Independent Federation of Chinese Students and Scholars in the U.S. Upon learning the brutal persecution of the Falun Gong in China, he founded the Falun Gong Human Rights Working Group in 2001 and has since submitted over 100,000 cases of human rights abuses against Falun Gong practitioners to UN special reporters. He has also founded and is president of the Conscience Foundation, a nonprofit organization to publicize and remind people that the human conscience is the very essence of humanity. He has spoken extensively on human rights issues in China since 2001. He's frequented meetings at the UN Human Rights Commission in Geneva, now the Human Rights Council, spoken to the council, to special reporters, and at many forums to forward the cause of human rights. I want to skip to the end because this is kind of how we met him. We met him through another person who had come here from China and found that the experience in the U.S. wasn't what they thought it was going to be, you know, just based on the information they received as children in China. But he was born in China in 1962, and at age 15, he entered the gifted program at China University of Science and Technology, came to the U.S. in 1982 to study, and received his Ph.D. in molecular biology at the University of California, San Diego. So he currently owns and runs a molecular biology startup in San Diego. So just in case he didn't sound busy enough there, he's got that too. So I've kind of left the topic to him since we haven't talked to him for a long time. And I thought, oh, there's tons of stuff going on, I know. But Dr. Chen, how's the world treating you since we haven't seen you in a while?
Oh, yeah, it's been a long time. Thank you for having me back.
It was a whole winter. The whole winter. We missed the whole winter.
Yeah. But there are significant, very significant events that took place in China. And more than we can cover in 2 hours. But I'll just pick a few that's are close related. One is that it's not even an outbreak anymore. It's like a, you know, a deliberate opening a floodgate.
Oh.
In this case, the flood is the COVID-19. And so, there was one thing that we haven't talked about here, that is a different strategy of fighting the COVID. Right? Of course, COVID-19 really originated from China. Now, what we call CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, has been denying that, and they tried to shift the blame or the origin of the COVID-19 to the United States. I mean, among other unreasonable mm-hmm. things that the CCP does. But anyway, most places, not all, but many places in the world, at the beginning of the outbreak, most of the world took the approach of quarantine. But then that slowly, the pandemic spreads, more people get infected and have immunity. But a key event that took place, that is the Omicron variant of this virus. And this is a very peculiar variant. And then the scientists still do not have an explanation. This is usually we have something, you know, called the super bug or super virus. And that usually means that it's particularly contagious or devastating. And this Omicron is the opposite of that. And it's very curious. The infection rate, a probably easier to understand term is the speed of spread. It's like over 10 times, maybe even 100 times faster than most other variants. And most interestingly, it confers immunity to other strains. Now, immunity is something that, you know, our body has. The internal mechanism that human body have. Once we get exposed to certain bugs, and we develop immunity, and the natural immunity is one single most potent defense, you know, against all these microbials or viruses. If we don't have an immune system, then human world would be wiped out millions of years ago. But for this particular COVID-19, the vaccine strategy usually took advantage of the human immunity and give human some kind of a medication. It's not a medication, but some kind of a substance, right? So I'm trying to use a common term that so non-biologists can understand. So we give vaccine
that.
To you're right. That's right. So it doesn't have the harmful effect of a real bug, but it mimics the real bug. So our bodies then recognize the fake bug. And then when the real bug comes, then our body can react. Oh, I know you. Okay, so our body would mount a defense against the real bug. Right. Now, in the case of the COVID-19, all the vaccines doesn't work quite well. Right? Not all vaccine works. Right? Like, for example, the AIDS virus so far still effective vaccine has been developed so far. Right? And COVID-19 is such a case. You know, when that is why, you know, when different governments around the world forces the population to have a second, third, you know, multiple shot of vaccine, that means, you know, it's not really very effective. And that's why, you know, many people refuse to accept it. And it is important to know that the COVID-19 vaccines are also based on, at least in the United States and Germany and some other Western European countries, they are based on a technology that has not been properly tested. It's called the RNA vaccine. And now, that didn't prove to be useful. And what, you know, news media and government agents do not want us to know that this pandemic is under control, not because any kind of a human or government intervention. Rather, it's this freak mutation, what we call the Omicron. And that's why I call it, you know, super beneficial bug, right? Or vaccine. And I personally do believe that it is a divine intervention. So, you know, we humans will not be able to come up with that kind of a technology. It spread much faster than any detrimental variants. And when one is infected by the Omicron, it does have some very minor syndrome. It's not as vicious as all other variants. But the most curious thing is that once someone is infected by the Omicron, it confers that person immunity against all other vaccines. Sorry, all other variants. And this Omicron is one that really solved major problem of the pandemic. So what we call the community immunity, right, was the result of this benevolent Omicron variant. Right? So that is what's happening in most part of the world. Now in China, though, because that regime, the Chinese regime, has the capacity, have the best capacity, you know, or the most vicious capacity of crowd control. So it has used the quarantine strategy from, you know, beginning, from the very beginning. As I said, you know, most part of the world took that approach as well, quarantine. But the quarantine is so inhumane, so most countries, you know, basically gave up on that approach instead of then switch to the vaccine approach, and that wasn't as successful either. And then came along the Omicron that solved most of the problem now. This, however, didn't happen in China because the Chinese government locked down almost the whole country. Right? Wherever there's a single case of infection, then it locks down the whole city. There are many, you know, notorious lockdowns. There are more people died of the lockdown than from the virus. Right? And that the lockdown also depends on testing, nuclear testing, or PCR testing of the virus. Right? So by winter of last year, November, around November or December, right? The national health, you know, resources has been depleted, right? The government doesn't have, didn't have enough funds to do the testing anymore. And then so it, all of a sudden, made the decision to no longer do this testing and stop all quarantine. Now, not only that, it also did something that's completely against common sense. But really in China, it is anti-humanity, I would say.
Hold that thought, Dr. Chen. Yeah. Before we delve into that, I don't want to cut you off partway, but we have to take a really quick break. We'll be right back. You are listening to Dr. Shizong Chen. You're with We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them? Turn on the radio. I need the music. Give me some more. Turn on the radio. I want to be the doctor. Give me some more. Turn on the radio. I want to be the doctor. Give me some more.
I play the song about the radio on the radio. What the heck? All right. So, sorry, I didn't mean to catch you right mid thought, Dr. Chen.
Oh no, thank you. It's you know, we have to lay the background of this so we can properly understand what is going on, what has been going on, actually. This pandemic, or what we call COVID-19, is, if we look back, we can already look back now, but if imagine we look back 10 years from now, look back, we'll understand more fully that this is one single event that really sync or connect the whole world together on the large scheme of things. So let me go back to China. So different from the rest of the part of the world, the CCP took a drastic or vicious measure because it just because it can, right? The crowd control, lock everybody, no matter how large that city is. I mean, Shanghai, Beijing, these are, you know, tens of millions of people in a city, right? And so it doesn't matter how large that city is, you know, they just lock it up, right? And this happened throughout the process. The COVID-19 started to appear in China in September, right, of 2019. Right? So in the past 3 years, three plus years, the CCP has subjected all China to that kind of a draconian measure. It's also a very inhumane measure, but also a very expensive measure, right? Just because it can. Right? And then last year, November, it can no longer afford it. Right? Basically, it's depleted its resources. And without properly prepared the whole country to, it all of a sudden decided, okay, we're no longer doing anything. You know, they're not going to do, they no longer do anything. Then, so without any preparation for its hospitals, its social services, its medication supply, without any permission. It all of a sudden decided, okay, we're opening up this floodgate. Now, because of the lockdown, the whole population has, you know, minimum exposure to the virus. And the CCP think that was a success at the beginning, before they opened up the gate, okay, the floodgate, they claim that is a success. And actually, they proudly, right, say that the whole world is copying its approach. By the way, quarantine is not, it's not at all a invention by the CCP. I mean, back in the Middle Ages, you know, European, knew about quarantine. It was, at that time, quarantine is the only effective approach. Now, the CCP, not knowing, you know, being so narrow-minded, not knowing human history, treated as its own invention, and then said the whole world is copying its work. Anyway, now all of a sudden it stopped copying its own work, homework, and then or in invention, and it's all of a sudden say, okay, I'm no longer doing anything. You can imagine, right? Without any, with minimum, previous exposure, or very little previous exposure, the benefit of the Omicron did not happen in China. The Omicron, because the other country opened the society up long ago. And so that gave Omicron the time to do its positive thing, to confer immunity to large population of the world, and that's why that the World Cup can happen, right? And there's such a large gathering in the World Cup, soccer World Cup, and there's no outbreak of pandemic. Right? But in China, the government's lockdown did not give the population the opportunity to expose to the Omicron. And so now the other, vicious variants then spread in China. And with minimum preparation, right? And this flood, then you can imagine, right? It's worse than it's worse than the government didn't do anything from the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. If the government didn't do anything since the first day of the pandemic, the result would not be as devastating. So even though the CCP claimed to be doing something, right, to contain the pandemic or the virus, in the end, once it's opened up the floodgate, it does so much more damage than not doing anything. So this is a tragic. And this has been borne out true throughout the history of the CCP, that the things that CCP does tend to be worse than not doing anything.
It's like, stop helping me. They might have been the origin of, I'm here from the government and I'm here to help.
Yeah. So anyway, so this, as you can imagine, is devastating. And so by January, the founder of Falun Gong, Mr. Li Hongzhi, issued a statement, basically, right, telling Chinese people, right, but also telling the world, that 400 million people have died as a result of this pandemic. And the CCP has been covering it. And then Mr. Lee also disclosed that in 2003, the SARS was really COVID-19 1, okay, or COVID-19 and SARS 2. Basically, those two pandemics are closely related. The viruses are even closely related. So in the original version of COVID-19 or the first version of SARS, Ms. Lee also disclosed that 200 million people was killed. Right? But at that time, the CCP took the approach of covering everything up, and it didn't allow its officials, local officials, to even collect statistics of the infection. So the government itself didn't know what was the damage, what was the death toll of the SARS. At that time, it was Jiang Zemin, right? This is a notorious name that the humanity, the world should know. Right? Jiang Zemin was the head of the CCP at that time. He was the one that made a decision that prohibit its officials from collecting any data on COVID-19. Many, many years later, right, when the Chinese government realized that there's a loss of population, there's a decrease, reduction of population, if 200 million is a large number. Right? And that was when the government then decided to lift the population control, the notorious one-child policy. Right? Then that is when they terminated that policy. Right now, fast forward to 2023, 400 million people died as a result of pandemic. And for some reason, this is not properly disclosed. And of course, the CCP covers up. But the rest of the world did not really pick up on that information either. So that was then, right? So and then soon after that, Jiang Zemin, right? That's why I say we should remember that name. Jiang Zemin was the evil person who launched the persecution of Falun Gong. He died. Early 2023. So early on, many years ago, when I wrote many things on the persecution of Falun Gong, I also wrote many things helping Falun Gong practitioners in China as dear letter to the government. Many years ago, I claimed that Jiang Zemin will not be able to outlive Falun Gong, right? So he was the one that, when he launched a persecution of Falun Gong, he arrogantly say, we're going to eliminate Falun Gong every month. He never was able to do that, not even come close. And so many years ago, I declared that he'll not be able to outlive Falun Gong. And so this turned out to be, right? Turned out to be the case, right? Okay, so then this would draw us to one of the more important topic that we're going to discuss today. And, Mr. Li Hongzhi, the founder of Falun Gong, then published a writing on January, right? How humankind came to be. So in January, so that was soon, just a few days after he disclosed that 400 million people had been killed in China. Now, 400 million people. That is a That's a huge amount.
You kill 400 million people in this country, and you'd have to borrow them from somewhere else. I don't even think if we include illegal aliens, we've got that many people. Maybe we do now.
So that is, more than a quarter, close to a third of China's population.
God.
And that has many devastating consequences that we can elaborate on, later in the program. But basically, in response to that dramatic event, Mr. Li Hongzhi published a writing titled "Why There Is the Mankind," and according to this his writing, it was as a result of this devastating COVID-19 that gods and Buddhas asked Mr. Li Hongzhi to tell human beings in the world a few words. Right? So basically he's saying that he's forwarding the messages from gods and Buddhas. Because gods and Buddhas are in higher places, they're not visible by human, but their messages forwarded by Mr. Li, and then Mr. Li claimed that every word in his writing revealed heavenly secret. Right? And basically, this article explained to the human world why there's a humankind. And this, to me, unites the messages that have been presented or forwarded to human beings through various religion or orthodox spiritual practices, right? Like Christian, like Buddhism, like Taoism, Judaism, all that. So this unites all of them. And in this program, we also have discussed, what really is what is one thing that is common to all spiritual practices? We human world have been filled with religious wars, different religion branches fought each other. So there are plenty of differences, but there's also something in common. And I have thought this issue for a long time, and I have concluded to the following, that what we say, what we human, say as a faith or as a belief, whatever word we use, right, what we really believe in via different kinds of religion, right, really is an existence of higher existence. That is, above human, there are another existence that we human beings do not really know. But we know that, we know its existence, how the actual form or what it's like, we don't know. But we believe there's this higher, better existence. And so that's number one. Number two, following higher beings' guidance, we human beings can ascend to there as well. So this is common to all religion, all cultivation, all spiritual practices. Right? Without those two, it wouldn't qualify as a orthodox teaching or spiritual practice. And this is common.
The one thing with Falun Gong, Dr. Chen, we have to take a really quick break. Yeah. But when we come back, it's interesting because we very rarely hear about it. And one thing about the persecution in China, we hear about the Uyghurs all the time. But the Falun Gong really predate that and are still being persecuted, and yet you really don't hear about that. And I'm curious your take on why that is. I've kind of an idea, but you'd be the expert on that. We're going to come right back. You are listening to We the People, and you can find everything about our shows at wethepeopleradio.us.
Pretty frightening, but you know the chances are so small. Stuck by a bee sting, nothing but a bee thing. Better chance you're gonna buy it at the mall. But it's a 23 or 4 to 1 that you can fall in love by the end of this song. So get up, tell the bookie to bet I'm not a damn thing will go wrong. The odds are that we will probably be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright tonight. The odds are that we will probably be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright for another night.
I hope so.
The odds are. gotta play the odds.
What are those odds?
It is all about the odds. But you know, honestly, you know, you meet people all the time with all the stuff that's going on, and it's like they get so far down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, but I'm amazed at how many people have not got a clue of what's going on.
Well, then there's
it's like,
that.
Oh, I don't really follow the news that much. And I was like, what are you doing with your life?
They're probably happy. That song makes perfect sense to them.
Yeah.
I played it for the other people.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Chen, talk to us about why Falun Gong is something. Like, I remember when we first started talking to you back in, I don't know if we were talking, I think we met you a little bit later, but like back in 2018, when our guests used to, our Chinese guests used to speak about the CCP, we had to keep reminding them to say Chinese Communist Party because no one knew what that meant. Now the number of people who don't know what that means is kind of non-existent. But Falun Gong is still not something that has entered the lexicon, although people have learned about the human rights persecution. So why do they only hear about the Uyghurs?
That is one of the most important questions.
Huh.
And this is part of the grand scheme of things. And I hope we will have, you know, I hope we can discuss this topic for many shows, because it really warrants that many shows. Right?
Yeah.
So let me give a short answer to that. That there are higher beings arranged for that, to cover up for that. And this is part of what this writing, the founder of Falun Gong's writing, the title is "Why There's It Mankind," is about, right? Part of it is about, right? The short answer for that, why there's a human, why there's a mankind, one of the answers to that is mankind exists to save the whole cosmos. Right? Humankind was created as a way for the whole cosmos to save itself, because the cosmos just like a human being, go through, you know, we human beings go through birth, you know, age and death, right? This is an endless cycle, right? And, it, you know, we all go through that. The cosmos has a similar cycle. And the cycle is formation. So when the cosmos was first formed, stasis or stability, right? So when it was first formed, it's like the best condition, just like when a healthy baby is born, it was the most vibrant. And then it'll go through his youth, growing, and then to adulthood. And then from then on, it starts to go downhill. Right? It'll get, you know, old age, eventually die. Right? So the cosmos, the God goes through that kind of process as well, according to this writing. Just that their process is so much longer. But now that has come to that end as well. And so the whole cosmos is facing that problem. And then to solve that problem, the creator, in their writings, the creator, but it also refers to Ms. Li Hongzhi. Then created what's called the three realm, right? The earth and human is at the lowest realm of that three realm. And it was created as a place for humankind to exist. Humankind did not exist before then. Right? And many benevolent gods who saw the problem of the cosmos, the end problem. They came following the Creator to the Earth to atone for the sins, for all the karma that has been created throughout this long process, and also to cultivate themselves so they can go back to save the cosmos from destruction. And they do this through obtaining the Fa. The Fa is the principle, it's the mechanism, it's the creation of everything. And so they came here to atone for the karma, and to reform themselves to according to the Father that created everything. So basically, through cultivation, they make themselves to have the ability to save the cosmos from the end destruction. And so that's why in this writing, that Ms. Li Hongzhi said, human being exists to, I'm paraphrasing, right? The human being, the reason that there's a human being is because, there are higher gods who came down to the human world to save the whole cosmos. That was, I'm paraphrasing. Right? That was the reason. So, now, then,
of course, the government wouldn't want anybody to be learning, reading, or believing anything like that, because that kind of flies in the face of their...
No. So, now, just like a human being, they're a good person, they're a bad person, right? At the higher realm, at every realm, there are good beings and bad beings. At the realm of gods, they're gods. But they're also Satan. We know that, Satan, the archangel,
mm-hmm.
They're the opposite of good, of the good gods. So at every level, there are this kind of an opposite force. Right? The specter of communism is actually higher. In terms of the realm, it's higher than Satan. Right? So when you say, the communism do not want people to know about that, that's very much true. Not only communism, the specter, do not want people to know about God, they also prohibit people to know the existence of Satan. And so that is why communism is worse. It's more vicious. It's more evil than Satan. We know Satan being evil, but communism outranks Satan in terms of evilness. So
that's not a selling feature.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing that that there are people in this country that think it would be fine. We could just do it differently and it would be better.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Communism right now is spread all over the world. I mean, we couldn't even say that Satan has spread the whole world, but we can safely say communism spread out through the whole world. And when Falun Gong then start to spread in China, it of course first offend communism, right? Because communism is, you know, out to destroy the whole world, including the whole cosmos. Right? Yet Falun Gong then aim to do the opposite, to save the whole world. So there, the righteous and the evil had their first fight. Right? So communism, the Chinese Communist Party launched the persecution against Falun Gong. And in my previous, I think you, Aaron, you posted on Read Radio that an earlier writing that I wrote, Falun Gong, Last Stand, The Last Stand of Humanity, right? Falun Gong, The Last Deed. And there, I characterized the persecution of Falun Gong as the ultimate, evil, the ultimate crime of the most evil of all crime. And that is a crime against conscience. Okay? And conscience is something that, you know, underlines all, as I said, you know, underlines all the orthodox teachings. Even though different orthodox teachings, at times they fought against each other. Right? You know, religious war. Even among the same religion, like the Catholics, and the Puritans, they fought at one time, right? So even within the same religion, there were religious fighting. Right? But nonetheless, those are all aimed to help people to cultivate, to be a better person. Only that they thought, well, my way is better than yours. And that was why there's a religious war, right? My way is more righteous, more orthodox than yours, right? Now, communism, on the other hand, is a system that forbades all religion, all orthodox teaching. It doesn't matter whether a thousand Buddhism, Christian, right? So it suppress all orthodox teaching. And so, when communism persecuted Falun Gong, and there are many governments who unwittingly assisted communism to that end, they unwittingly assist them a evil that suppresses all religion, including their own religion, right? So, for example, our government, the government of the United States, in a way, for a long time was acquiescent about the persecution of Falun Gong. And in fact, still, largely remains silent about that persecution. It didn't realize that it also is helping a regime that actually persecutes Christians.
We're going to get clipped by the news. I wasn't paying attention. Dr. Chen, we'll be right back with you after the news. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at We the People Radio and Bill's Not Paying Attention.us.